Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full-time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
No,
Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 5 minutes past five. And hard fact today is focusing on the World Environment Day, which is marked on the 5th of December. Which is marked on the 5th of June every year. So yesterday was the World Environment Day. And just to steal from the United Nations Secretary General's message for this year, Antonio Guterres, the theme for this year, World Environment Day, is only one Earth. The simplest statement of fact, he says, this planet is our only home. It is vital we safeguard the health of its atmosphere, the richness and diversity of life on Earth, its ecosystems, and its finite resources. But we are failing to do so. We are asking too much of our planet to maintain ways of life that are unsustainable. Earth's natural systems cannot keep up with our demands, and that's the truth, and it is the hard fact and the reality of life. Every year, every other year is hotter than the previous year, and you can all attest to this fact. And so it's always a pleasure to have these conversations on air and off air with Desmond Majakodumi, an environmental activist. I've known him for several years, and it's what he does and what he talks and lives for as an environmentalist. And I'm also an environmentalist because of a course of study in major university. So it's sort of every time I talk with Desmond, we relate on several factors and several talking points, which we will today. Desmond, great to have you join us on Hard Facts.
It's great to be here with you, my fellow environmentalist, my fellow earthling. That's what we are. There's only one Earth. Would do you know of any other Earth?
None at all.
Oh, that's one Earth. And you know, when I was going deeper into the statement from the United Nations,
right?
They said that with all their research now, they got tremendous space researching telescopes. They said that there are millions of galaxies, and that there are hundreds of millions of planets. But from their deep research, the only planet that they are aware of that can actually support life is this, our planet Earth. There's only one Earth, my brother. And look at the way we're treating it.
Absolutely deplorable the way we treat that. And on the course of the conversation, of course, I'm sure when you have the environment report on Thursday, it was Wednesday, Desmond, right?
Yes, on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. Wednesday at 2:30, Desmond has an environment report. I'm sure he'll also shed some more light on this. And it's a conversation which I've told Desmond we should have as often as possible because of the ramifications, which thankfully the rest of the world is beginning to see. But unfortunately, Nigeria, we just mount it more, but the government and even the people don't understand the import of what it means. So Desmond, as we speak, there's a conference going on in Germany, in Bonn, And it's to review some of the things we have agreed in previous conferences, some of the conferences you've also been to. And I'm sure that millions of listeners today will be asking the question, what sort of commitments has Nigeria made, and what are their roles in making sure that goals and objectives of this commitment are met?
Exactly. And this is the thing. There's so much talk about it at these a lot of these conferences.
Yeah.
They've been having them. They had one in Glasgow just last year in November, Conference of the Parties for Climate Change. Everybody got together and they're saying, yes, we accept that there's a problem. And they have to accept there's a problem, because all the world top meteorologists, all the world top scientists are telling us very categorically, very, very clearly, that we're pushing the very life support systems of our planet to the edge of an unstoppable, catastrophic consequence. You know, we're really pushing it too far. So they've been promising at these conferences, promising that, we're going to do something. We recognize the problem, because, my brother, you know, the problems are clear. With too much pollution into the atmosphere, it's causing overheating of the planet. As simple as that. If your body has over 1 degree, if you're just 1 degree above normal, you're beginning to express signs of sickness. If it goes 1.5 degrees, 2 degrees, you know you're sick. And we're pushing this planet's average temperature to 1.5 degrees, which is a very, very dangerous place to push it to. So we promise, we're going to cut down on our pollution. Then they're telling us species extinction. We're wiping out so many of these wildlife and so on. Well, which I hear you have become a pangolin ambassador, by the way, which is very commendable.
Very true. let's save the pangolins.
Blah blah blah. Yeah, we gotta talk less and do more.
Absolutely. We have to talk less and do more. And already, Desmond, we're already living with the consequences of how poorly managed the environment. I mean, since the 1980s, there's been a nexus between underdevelopment, poverty, and the environment. You know, so we're seeing the consequences already from food insecurities to even physical insecurity in the Northeast, of everything traced to the environment, which is not being managed sustainably. So where will you want to pitch from? I guess the one that hits us hard is security.
Absolutely. It is one of the most obvious effects of this global warming, because the first thing that the global warming does is it throws the seasons, you know, out of order.
Right.
So when you're supposed to, I can plant now because definitely the rainy season is here.
Right.
So you now end up planting, and then guess what? Maybe just one shower and then no rain. Mm. So your plants die off. Eh? Or you now say, rains are really here, so they're going to stop at such and such time so I can get ready for harvest. And then the rains don't stop. So the seasons go all over the place. And immediate effect is food shortage. We're experiencing it already. When you have food shortage, when you have hunger, you know what they say, a hungry man is an angry man, you know, and that's understandable. So we're having food shortages. And then to make it worse, there are places in our country, my brother, as you know very well, like Lake Chad. Lake Chad has shrunk from being a massive, massive inland waterway, inland lake, one of the biggest lakes in the whole world. It's shrunk to 10%. 10% of its normal size. Can you imagine? And that lake has been sustaining millions of people for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. Not to mention the way the Sahara Desert is plunging in and plunging in. And, you know, in all fairness to my dear brothers, the herders, I was up there, my dear brother, I was there several decades ago in Yobe State. And I met some of those guys. They're those happy life people. They have all the milk they need. They have all the fresh meat that they need. The suya there is the sweetest, freshest suya. And why is that in those days? Because the cows had so much land to be grazing on. If somebody came to call them to come and do one hypocritical nonsense ideology of peace be unto you, and then you blow the two of you up, they'll tell you to get lost. They are leading a happy life.
Mm.
Now, so those guys, they've had to abandon their villages and look for green pastures because the desert has been moving in relentlessly. And, of course, that's going to cause security, putting millions of people out of work, making another millions of people hungry. And we're feeling the effect now.
Absolutely. We're feeling the effect. And you just need to go through the dailies to see where Desmond talks about the millions of people whose livelihood was fishing, farming. Now they cannot do any of those things. And we have a massive problem which spreads from the northeast to the northwest to the Benue Tru, where we've had farmers' herders crisis. That's just one problem, Desmond. There's a problem also to... we'll come to the solutions and we'll look at whether what we've done in the past, things like the Green Belt, if they've worked out, we need to do more. Let's look at energy. I was looking at the chat in terms of how the CO2 gases in the last 50 years, and nothing shocks me the fact that it's on the upward spiral, despite all the commitments. We keep burning the fossil fuels, and there's instead of commitments being met, we find out that countries like China, for example, are going back to coal. In fact, I saw reports in about 35 other countries are going back to coal. But the Chinese, they say it's a backup plan. But it does leave you with great concern the way we continue to burn fossil fuels without pursuing in the same fervor renewable clean energy.
Exactly. Exactly. The reality is, and I think we mentioned it once jokingly on one of your television programs some time back, that if I bring a generator into the studio and I spark the gen, will you stay in the studio?
Of course not.
Oh, come on. Because you know that by burning that petrol or the diesel gen, it's giving them poison. That's the reality. Whether we like it or not, that's the harsh reality. And we're pumping millions and millions and millions of tons of this poison into the atmosphere. It's killing off people. It's killed off in 1 year. The poison from these toxic fumes all over the world, it's killed off more people than COVID. Just in 1 year, not to mention last year and the year before, or the decade before that. And then coal is the most toxic, the most poisonous of all. So we have to transit, whether we like it or not. We can't continue poisoning our very life support system. And we're so lucky that we have so much of the natural energy. Sun is always shining in our terrain now. And all we have to do is just tap into the photovoltaic systems and good storage systems. And there's different ways to store the energy. There's elevated water storage. So you put the water in giant reservoirs and then you bring it down to operate your turbines. And then talking of water, we have dams. We have sea waves. We have wind in our highlands. We can have all this renewable energy. But you see, and this is what worries me. It's that greed motivation. You know, we tend to, not just Nigerians, but just human beings generally. And that's one of the things they were even trying to say in the report with the United Nations on this World Environment Day.
Right.
Is that, you know, we tend to just get so caught up in our greed. You know, that we put profit ahead of everything and everybody, and we put the profit ahead of the people, you know, and that's so dangerous. You can't put profit ahead of people. That's what the armed robber does,
right?
You know, can you be making money and then at the expense of a healthy environment? Our environment is our life support, and our children's life support, and we're wrecking it because of profit. It's not acceptable. And my brother, there's one thing that we're all forgetting sometimes.
There
are fundamental laws of life.
Right.
Just like the law of gravity. You know, if you hold an object in the air, you release it, it's going to fall. Have you? It's going to drop. That's the law of gravity, which is obeying a law of action and reaction.
Yes.
There's also the law of retribution. Whatsoever a man sow, surely shall he reap.
Right.
If you plant cassava, can you harvest cocoyam? And what we're planting into the environment, the negativity that we're putting against nature, she has to give it back to us.
Right.
Nature doesn't understand grace. So Nature operates on fundamental laws. That what you sow into her, you do her good, she gives you good back.
Mm.
You do her bad like we're doing, wrecking her systems, wrecking her atmosphere, polluting her waterways, killing off her animal species left, right, and center, unsustainably tearing down her forest. She has to hit us back.
Mm.
And she already showed us how she can hit too.
Mm.
That COVID, although we were lucky, maybe because we haven't caused as much damage as other countries.
Very true.
COVID did not cause as hard as it did other places. My dear brother, we should take cognizance of these fundamental rules too, because they're sacrosanct.
They're sacrosanct, and a great point that Despot Majakodumi makes. If you just joined us on 99.3 Nigeria Info on the Big Hat Facts, we're looking at the World Environment Day, which is marked every 5th of June. And so it was marked on Sunday. Very few people took notice of, but we took notice of, and it's important. We look at the talking points and see just how we are treating our environment. The theme of this year's World Environment Day is Only One Earth. And we are highlighting the ways in which how our earth has been compromised in ways which is now affecting food security, affecting our energy, affecting also to security, but where we see what has happened in the northeastern part. We're going to get to the policies and how they're working or not working very soon. But I wanted to point out something here, Desmond, sometimes, you know, that if you look at the Sustainable Development Goals, all 17 of them, like the UN Secretary General says in his message, they are all connected to a healthy environment.
Oh.
You have a healthy environment, you're not going to have any of the Sustainable Development Goals work. So it appears that is the canvas in which we have to make things work for us to be able to understand. Why is it so difficult for people to understand how the fragile nature of our environment? You mentioned one attribute of the environment, which is the fact that it's a sink. If you put the activities in there, it will absorb and it will get to a point which you refer to diminishing return setting in, or elasticity. The elasticity is stretched beyond the point where it can no longer be able to absorb our dangerous activities. Why is it so difficult for people to understand this part?
Yes, it's quite strange because it's becoming more and more obvious.
Mm.
And possibly it is because when the environment hits back,
right,
it doesn't necessarily hit back at immediately your particular location.
Mm.
You might be reading about it.
Mm.
You might be seeing it on television and so on. You might be hearing about it.
Right.
But it hasn't really affected you. And it's a bit of a selfish thing. And, you know, to be honest, it's actually bringing out our flaws.
Mm.
It's showing us that, so it's only if it happens directly to me that I'll actually have a reaction to it.
Mm.
So I can continue making my profit for myself and my own immediate needs so long as it's not affecting me negatively. You know, it's actually highlighting our flaws.
Mm.
And the thing about this sustainability goals, I'm glad you brought that up because they are fantastic goals.
Mm.
And we have to give thanks to one of our ladies, Amina Mohammed,
right,
who's very much involved.
Mm.
You know, remember Amina Mohammed?
Yeah, Minister of Environment, now the Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations. Mm.
Yes. Mm. She was very much involved in those days before she came to Nigeria in developing those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And at a lecture I gave for UN here once, I know, I said, look, all these goals, if we don't get just even goal 13, correct, that is, climate change,
right,
tackling climate change. If we don't get that right, none of the other goals will work because we won't be able to have, as you said, a healthy planet.
Mm.
If you don't have a healthy planet, what else are you going to be doing?
Mm.
If you can't sustain your life on this planet, but getting across. So what we're now looking at now is that, maybe we've been talking too much of the science to people. We don't want, so we're now trying to get the entertainment industry people more connected with it. The musicians, the actors in Nollywood, and even the sports people to come on, but particularly the entertainment people. And I'm so glad that Burna Boy is actually getting on board now. He's been actually promoting this thing against, the terrible suit that's been going on in Port Harcourt in his home location and all that. And that's part of, environmental degradation. He's actually, saying a little bit, not enough. Davido also, down people like yourself. Davido is also a pangolin ambassador, by the way. did you know that?
I had no idea. I'll go look again at the ambassadors.
You and Davido have that in common.
Oh boy.
I don't know, but do you have Rolls Royce in common?
Of course not.
Not yet. Anyway, I don't know. I suspect you probably wouldn't even spend your money on that, but that's talk.
I'd want an environmental friendly vehicle.
Yeah, oh. I trust you for that. I can give you a horse if you want. No, but really, we need to start taking it really to heart. And the thing is, you know, okay, the people that are telling us about it, top people, like Prince Charles of the UK, or even his son, when they were celebrating their mother's jubilee, in his speech, the son dedicated 1 minute of his 3 minute speech talking about how we're damaging nature and how we need to look after nature. Top people like Secretary General of the United Nations, Al Gore, former Vice President, even the late Kofi Annan, who was Secretary General of UN, top intellectual people are talking about it and dedicating themselves to promoting this cause.
Right.
Why would those sort of people be doing that if it wasn't so important?
Several questions, Desmond. But we're going to go on a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have some more talk about this World Environment Day and the things we should be doing as a people, action points and the policies that have worked or haven't worked. And look forward to the next World Environment Day and see whether we have learnt lessons or not. Desmond Majakodumi will still be with us, environmental activist. Please stay with us on news on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Welcome back. It's 25 minutes to 6 on 99.3 Nigeria Info on the Big Hat Fact World Environment Day with Desmond Majakodumi. We're having a big conversation, trying to touch as many angles as possible in this topic, which is of great ramifications to us as a people, affecting our food, affecting our security, affecting our lives, transport. Everything has to deal with the environment. And Desmond Majakodumi has been very helpful in providing us a lot of important information. You can send us messages on 0809-597-5805. Again, 0809-597-5805. At some point, we're taking a couple of calls also to get your thoughts on what we're doing right or not so right. So, Desmond, we look at the security issue and what we've tried to do, especially in with the Green Wall, which is supposed to provide a wall of defense, you know, against the desertification in the northeastern part of the country. And we haven't exactly done our own part for a number of reasons. But you've been on this also for some time, Desmond.
It's a painful one that you brought up. And it's something that we Nigerians, we really have to get a handle on this because we've actually had a version of this Green Wall, which is a wonderful idea to start massive replanting of trees all along that desert corridor. And those trees, if they're kept and maintained till they grow a little bit mature, will actually be able to help to hold the desert back. Because that's what trees do. That's why they're so important, apart from, of course, giving us our most essential commodity, which is obviously oxygen. Trees give oxygen free of charge. So this idea happened almost two decades ago, if I over that. And loads of money was allocated towards planting the trees. And then hardly anything happened. A lot of the people who got the allocation of the money planted houses and mansions in their places. But the tree program it collapsed way back then, where it would have made a big difference because of this gross corruption, what has been classified by that icon as a chop and wipe mouth, chop and wipe mouth matter, you know. And it's unfortunately gone on for too long,
right?
And it's caused far too much problem for us, not to mention even now,
right?
The new Green Wall program, it's a good program, it's a far better program. It's in collaboration with other African nations, and a lot of those other nations have made their walls. They've planted millions and millions of trees, except when it got to the Nigeria section, it hasn't done too well at all. And we've really been blowing the alarm over that, and we've been given assurances now that no, it's going to be done. It's going to be a lot better because we won't tolerate corruption in the environment sector. If you've got to have it in other sectors, well, that's for other people to take care of that. But when we're talking of environment, again, I have to repeat it. It is our life support system and our children's life support system. So anybody who feels that they can do something that have a negative impact on that or take money away from something that's supposed to help for my children's life support, no way. You're not going to get away with it. And we're happy there's a few people in government now as well,
right,
who seem to be seeing the light on that. And we're quite excited that we're going to get far better results with the Green Wall.
Right, yeah. Because the thinking is to reforest the area and then bring back green in there and then get the environment restored and healed.
The
pressing problems are just one. I mean, an hour on this program will be a travesty. We'll still not be able to touch the Niger Delta, where years of oil exploration and, you know, has not only spoiled the land and the gas flaring continues till this day, destroying the very quality of life. But I think we must touch on that at least also to on this World Environment Day, the state of the environment in the Niger Delta.
That's the most painful.
Right.
Because the amount of money that has come out of that land under the soil, the amount of resources that have been taken from under the soil, and then because of a total irresponsibility for decades, regime after regime after regime, they were just dancing to the tune of the people who are tapping the resources and allowing all kinds of ridiculous pollution to go on, and then gas flaring, burning the gas, a wonderful commodity like that, just burning it and totally despoiling. Oh, it is heart-wrenching. I have a friend who grew up there. He said when they used to come back from school in their canoe, they would just cast the net. As they're rowing, that net would be full of fish. He'd jump onto the land. As he's going, he'd see a few cassavas or yam on the ground. Boom, boom, boom. He goes home, food for the whole family. Now, he can't even swim inside that water. Eh? The land, forget it. You can't grow anything. But you know the worst part of it.
Right.
And you see, this is such a terrible indictment of people who were in positions of leadership and could have done something about it. The worst part, my dear brother, is that children are dying every day from what? Cancer. Cancer, yes. Cancer that comes from this direct pollution. There's something called benzene.
Right.
Benzene is highly carcinogenic chemical. And when the UN did a report on that, it was shocking. We said that we had not 90 times in some areas, especially a place called Eleme local government, 900 times over the safe level, 900 of benzene. So they're, no. You see, people don't realize whoever is responsible for that, you can't escape it, either in the physical or the metaphysical. Otherwise, you don't believe scripture. Scripture is very clear. Whatsoever a man sows, you know, God is not mocked. It's there in the Holy Bible. It's there in the Holy Quran. It's there in all scriptures. The laws of retribution are on those who were responsible for this kind of desolation. Niger Delta. Anyway, we're praying now that good people are coming on board. Just get your voter's card, because that you have a good Earth Day. We have to have good people in in positions of authority and decision making.
Absolutely. The point we're going to come to very soon to environmental justice is what we all seek, and everyone has a role to play in making the environmental justice happen. Desmond, many times a lot of people don't get the environmentalist in the sort of arguments. We say, for example, anything, it's a principle, a guiding principle, anything not valued will be abused, which is why on the principle, on environmental principles, I am against subsidies, because because people think about it in a way that, oh, but you know, that, but I said no, because the oil subsidy doesn't give us the real value of the oil. So cheap oil burnt into the environment doesn't tell us exactly how much it is the cost of oil we take from underneath the earth, and which gives us more damaging. But unfortunately, people hear that argument and they say, but you know what the subsidies have done, and don't see it from the environmentalist point of view at about how much damage the cheap oil is doing to us as a people. Unfortunately, you've highlighted many of these points.
You are exactly correct. And instead of subsidizing the fuel, you could be subsidizing the transport, and the transport itself could be clean energy transport. People would enjoy that one far better.
Absolutely.
Entering bus for half price or quarter price. I beg. Reaction, law of retribution is there. It's real. If you don't believe the law of retribution is real, go and jump off the top of a tall building and see if the law of action will not catch you down to the ground very quickly. I beg.
In case you just joined us on this World Environment Day on special on Hat Fact, we're talking with Desmond Maje Kodumi, environmental activist of several years, and also the host of Environment Report, which happens on Wednesdays at 2:30. Just one more question, Desmond, and I'll go to the phone line so we can hear what the people have to say in terms of what we do oftentimes in the environmental circles. We highlight what the problems are, we do the analysis, and then we get into the policy part. You mentioned a very important part, which is what we learned a lot in school about the planning triangle, the people, the policy makers, and the politicians. We need them, you know, for their value, whether useful or nuisance. They have to implement those policies, environmental policies, when they come. We have elections happening in 2023. What sort of questions do you think those elected into office will have to answer to show they're serious about taking care of and providing for us a healthy environment?
I think that's very, very important. We need to just ask them that, you know, are you not aware of the reports, or are you aware of the reports that have been coming out of the United Nations for the last 50 years? That's why they're celebrating 50 years of World Environment Day. By the way, it's the same theme. When it started, it was only one Earth. Now they're using the same thing 50 years later because people haven't really been appreciating that. So the first question is, are you aware of the reports coming out of the United Nations? And if they happen to say no, you will now say, well, I really advise you to start to understand these reports, because United Nations is telling us very clearly that protecting the environment is the most important issue facing humanity. So if you're not aware of the most important issue facing humanity, then maybe you're thinking that the people that you're going to be governing over are not humans. You don't want to know about the most important thing facing humanity?
Right.
Then, you know, what do you take us for? Non-humans? Come on. So that's the first thing. Check out these reports that are coming from the UN. And UN is not a small organization. They have scientists networked all over the world, and they're panicking. So then the other question is, okay, are you really ready to do the right thing in terms of bringing the green back into our lives? Nigeria was a green nation. There's a reason why we have a green, white, and green again in our flag, because our economy was based on agriculture. And like the Kenyan economy, whose economy 90% is based on agriculture and ecotourism, we also could be doing the same thing. So are you ready, Mr. Politician, to bring the green back into our lives? Because that is sustainable. Even the oil economy, even if we had continued with it, how long will you continue with a limited resource? How long would the oil have lasted?
Yeah.
And now we're told that it's total poison. The world will soon be rejecting it. the little transition we have is maybe gas for a while, because the demand for gas is very high. Yeah. But even then, you know, you have to be careful how you extract that gas and how you use it, because it can also be very damaging.
Right.
Green economy, sustainable economy. So are you ready to take us back to the land?
Right.
When I was in Kenya, the president of Kenya, every weekend, he used to go to his shamba.
Right.
That's what they call their farm,
right,
Swahili.
Right.
Yes, you know, so are you ready to go to the land, Mr. Politician, Mr.
Absolutely.
Chairman, local government?
Very important questions. I'm going to call the numbers now. 0700-993-993-993. Call us and let's talk. 01465-7190. Take maybe just two calls, and then because we're far out of time. The Brundtland Commission defines sustainable development as development that meets today's needs without compromising future demands. We're neither meeting today's needs nor even planning for the future. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, Chibobo.
Great to have you join us, Christopher.
Chaku Maku.
Maku Shi.
Yala, yala.
Mm.
Chief Dad, excuse me, sir.
Hello.
Remember January 1st, 2019, when you mentioned to me about gas flaring, that they will stop, right?
Mm.
Chief Desmond, this December, last December, I traveled to my village. There's another one now, just at my backyard, flaring gas.
And
you go to Umutu, you go to Abedei, there are more than 10.
Hmm.
And the largest gas plant in West Africa, the one I always tell you about, is in Benekuku.
Hmm.
You just mentioned cancer, right?
Yes.
My people, the thing affects their size. Anybody from Benekuku, once they come out to the next village, you will notice that person because the way they look. Right? Now they are talking of lane from here to Morocco or Algeria.
Yeah. All right.
You know how much they are making, federal government, from these guys they are flaring, from all these oil companies? In their country, home country, they don't do that. That's why I don't know why they don't want you get you in their system to tell them what to do.
You should not
be celebrating all this thing with other the rest of the world.
All right. Thank you very much, Christopher. We want Desmond here more, where he can help us with the advocacy. All right. Let's see if we have any message on WhatsApp. And I can get back and take one more call. All right, looks like there's someone calling on Skype. Let's see if we can take it. I mean, so for those who are outside the country, you can call through Skype. So let's see if this call can go through. Hello and good evening. All right.
Hello.
Great. You're on tonight, 9.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you so much. So I've been listening to the show.
Sure.
I actually follow the guest you have on what's her name? Joyce's show. Like he comes to the
good environment report. Yeah.
Yeah. I usually follow him, and I'm also an environment advocate as well. Yeah, so I understand the whole carbon emission, like the whole, you know, everything about, like, you know, sustainability and stuff like that. But my question has always been, and I'm yet to get the answer.
Mm.
So if we say, okay, there is a lot of carbon emission, right? Our activities are kind of like putting us at risk, you know, our future is not guaranteed and stuff like that. So let's talk about carbon emissions from you know, fossil fuel, you know, the carbon dioxide we breathe and stuff like that. We understand the importance of tree, and that's what was happening when you mentioned the Great Green Wall.
Right.
Now, I don't think it's so expensive for us to plant trees. Why don't governments enact laws? So when I was in Nigeria, I'm from the south, like I'm from another producing community where I see a lot of developments, like we cut down trees, we just build, we don't take care of the environment and stuff like that.
Mm.
So why don't government take deliberate laws to preserve? So you know, like how it's in the West, I live in Canada, right? There's a place that we have parks, and then parks are like protected facilities where you can just go in there, cut down trees and stuff. Like, as much as it's beautified for us to go see it and then just have fun, those green space are there to help clean.
Right. Sorry to interrupt you again. Your name again?
My name is Lucky.
All right, Lucky. All right, Lucky, we're out of time, but since you listened to Desmond Environment Report, I'm sure on Wednesday, Desmond will have to respond to this point of view you have made. But thank you very much, and keep safe in Canada. Thank you very much, Lucky.
All right.
All right, Desmond, interesting conversation there. And I'm sure that it's something that you probably would also want to shed some light on the environment report about how simple actions we take as a people also to can help improve our own environment report.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll be more than happy to do that on Wednesday at 2:30. We'll go deeper into it because it's something we just need to bring out into our consciousness and just start loving nature, start caring more for each other, you know. It's not all about individual. Yeah. And we're getting so pushed into all that, you know.
Yeah.
And the theme is so apt, you know, because this is only one Earth. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
It's one tribe is fighting another tribe. Mm. One religion is fighting another religion. We're all Earthlings.
Yeah.
Just one little Earth.
Our own biodiversity. We don't know what we can do before we start to destroy each other. But that's for Magic Academy.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. It's been great speaking with you, World Environment Day. And you can catch Desmond again on Thursday, on Wednesday. It's in Thursday. On Wednesday, 2:30 p.m., he's there with Joyce, 99.3 Nigeria Info. All right, Desmond, thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you. Take care.
And you too. All right, that's it. Show 99.3 Nigeria Info on Hat Facts. We're going to go on a break. When we come back, it's time for the news. And after the news, the newsroom, where I'll be joined together. I and Ufuma Egbamuno will take you through the big stories our newsroom has been working on. And we'll have some big discussions around the Owo massacre, as well as the APC primary. There's a lot of drama happening. You know, it's fluid. We hear that there's a consensus candidate, interestingly, what I call the person, or one census candidate, because it appears not everything is as it seems. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.